سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدماتی جهانی وزیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکل گمنام در تهران است، آقای ایدن با هوشیاری 23 سال از امریکا و مترجم عزیزمون خانم سارا. موضوع جلسه یک روز در یک زمان. خانم سارا بفرمایید، خواهش میکنم، جلسه خدمت شما.
بله، مرسی. سلام، سارا هستم، الکلی. Hello Aiden, go ahead, the floor is yours. You can unmute yourself.
Hello Sarah, how are you? Hello everybody, my name is Aiden and I am an alcoholic and I have been sober for 23 years and I guess my story starts with being a young man. When I was very much a child, I grew up in an alcoholic father in Ireland. And my father was a late bloomer in drinking. He started when he was 40 years old. I learned that later on in life. He told me.
Can I just, sorry, interrupt you?
Yes,
let me just
absolutely.
Finish this. Thank you. سلام دوستان، من ایدن هستم، یک الکلی و 23 سال هستش که هوشیار هستم و داستان زندگی من در واقع از توی جوونی و از توی بچگیم شروع میشه که توی خانواده بودم که اجازه بدید اینجا شو بعد بگم. Okay, you can start from that part about your father. So it's better to go every few sentences. Thank
yeah.
you.
So continuation from I was handed my first drink when I was about 5 years old. My sister gave me a glass of whiskey, and it was because I was not feeling too well. And in Ireland, tradition is you give a glass of whiskey or a little bit of whiskey to anybody who's not feeling too good. So it's the way my culture I grew up in.
اوکی من چیز پدر و مادرم اینا اهل ایرلند هستن و اولین مشروبم رو وقتی داشتم که 5 سالم بود و خواهرم به من داد. در واقع این توی فرهنگ من هستش که من حالم اوکی نبود زیاد و به مشروب دادن. در واقع از اون همون سن کم اگر کسی زیاد حال و احساس خوبی نداره مریضه بهش مشروب میدن.
And so I guess that was my first feeling of I had a blackout. I had drank so much because she handed me a glass of whiskey. And so I was taken to the hospital, and this is the story I was told, that they had to pump my stomach. So I came back from that experience, and I guess that was my first taste of alcohol. And as I grew into my teenage years, I guess that was still in my unconscious memory. And so I reached for alcohol as a young teenager, to experience the taste of it again. And it made me feel much better. I realized at a very early age that it relieved my anxiety. It relieved a lot of stress that I guess I had pent up through growing up in an alcoholic family.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just have to interrupt you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I know it might be a little bit difficult for you, but
no,
I'm
okay.
afraid I
it's
might
good.
Forget, you know.
Yes.
thank you. من و اون اولین باری که خواهرم به من یه لیوان ویسکی داد و من خوردم، همون تایمی که 5 سالم بود، همون اولین بار من اثرش رو روم احساس کردم و بیشتر خوردم و همون بار من حالم بد شد، از هوش رفتم و منو به بیمارستان بردن. و باز هم وقتی که برگشتم تا توی سالهای نوجوانیم این اثر این الکل و مزه‌ای که به من داده بود، من خیلی ازش خوشم اومد و یه جورایی توی ضمیر ناخودآگاه من بودش که میخواستم هی اینو انجام بدم. و به خاطر این هم که از خانواده الکلی اومده بودم، این بر من خیلی خیلی استرابم رو، استرسم رو به هم کمک میکرد که اینها رو کم بکنم. و من همینطور که داشتم بزرگ میشدم، در واقع مرتب مشروب میخوردم و دوست داشتم اثرش رو. اوکی.
So my mother had died and so I was taken out of my household by my mother's sister, her my aunt. And I was taken to the city because she did not want me to be around my father. He was irresponsible through alcoholism. So I always liked cooking when I was young. I found peace in cooking. And my aunt suggested that I get a job in a hotel. And she introduced me to one of her friends. And her friend got me a job in the hotel, and the owner of the hotel got me into chef school at an early age. And so I started working in the hotel and going to chef school and learning how to be a chef.
Great. من وقتی که همون تایمی که بچه بودم، مادرم فوت کرد و خالم من رو از اونجایی که زندگی می کردم به شهر برد. و چون که نمی خواستش که من تو خونه باشم وقتی که بابام اونجا بود، چون بابام به خاطر بیماری الکلیسمش مسئولیت پذیر نبود و نمی تونست مراقب من باشه. من از همون اون موقع توی سنین جوونی از آشپزی خیلی لذت می بردم و وقتی آشپزی می کردم یک آرامشی رو داشتم. و به خاطر همین هم خالم یکی از دوستاش رو پیدا کرد که توی هتل کار می کرد، من معرفی کرد اونجا و من رفتم اونجا و اونجا توی هتل کار می کردم و آشپزی می کردم و می خواستم یه شغلی رو پیدا کنم. و اون کسی که توی اون هتل بود صاحب کارم، در واقع به من کمک کرد که برم توی مدرسه و درس آشپزی رو بخونم و یه سرآشپز بشم، یه سرآشپز در واقع حرفه‌ای بشم، برم مدرکش رو بگیرم. و من همزمان هم کار می‌کردم اونجا و هم به اون مدرسه می‌رفتم.
Excellent. And being a young 15 years old, had dropped out of high school, became a chef. In the hotel business in my country, in Ireland especially, and being a chef and working in the hotel business is considered kind of stressful. A lot of work, very fast-paced kitchen. And most of our conversation in my very early experiences of being a chef was, well, when you're 16 years old, you're going to have a drink with us, and we're all going to have a drink together. We're going to celebrate your new career. So on my first experience of going out, it was we celebrate Christmas here on 25th of December. The hotel was closed on that day. They took me out to a bar, into a pub, or in the pubs we call them in Ireland, next door and in the hotel. And so they gave me a drink. They gave me a large beer and a small whiskey. That's the way we drink in Ireland. And I drank that, and then they kept another one coming and another one coming, and everybody's buying me a drink. I was being initiated into manhood for being a chef. And after about three or four, I just felt myself starting to pass out. And I left the bar. I went on the city, and I had to do some shopping. I wanted to buy my aunt who raised me. I wanted to buy her a gift because she's my mentor. And as I was on the bus traveling towards the store, the shop to buy a gift for my aunt, I fell off the bus and I fell in the middle of the street. I was lying down in the middle of the street in the middle of a busy highway. I was passed out. Some of the cars stopped. And some ladies gathered around in a circle around me. And they looked at me and they lifted me up. And they put me in a taxi. I gave them some money to buy a gift from my aunt, and they went and they bought a gift for my aunt, and they had it wrapped in present paper, and they gave it to me and sent me home to my house. And I went home to my aunt and I gave her the gift. And my aunt smelled the alcohol on my breath, and I had sobered up a little bit. And she said, have you been drinking? And I said, yeah, I had one drink, you know, I mean, that's normal. That's what we do. I'm young. I'm old. I'm old enough now, I think. You know, I'm a man. I'm making money. And she said, please, no. I don't like when you drink. You're like your dad. You're just like your dad. And from that moment on, I really felt slight resentment because I did not want to be called someone that cannot drink.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, okay.
Translate that. Thank you.
No problem. خب وقتی که من خیلی جوون بودم و تقریبا 15 سالم بود و توی یه هتل کار میکردم که توی ایرلند و این یه شغل پر از استرس و پر سرعتی بود. من باید خیلی سریع کار میکردم ولی به هر حال این اتفاق افتاده بود و من وقتی 16 سالم شد دیگه میخواستیم بزرگ شده بودم دیگه و با هم مشروب میخوردیم و توی یه شب کریسمسی که من 16 سالم بود اون شب که با هم جشن میگرفتیم توی اون رستوران و توی اون هتله بار هتله و من برای من یه دونه لیوان آبجو گنده گذاشتن و یه دونه لیوان ویسکی هم کنارش و ما این مدلی توی اونجا مشروب میخوردیم توی ایرلند. اتفاقی که افتاد من همینطوری هی اینا رو میخوردم تموم میکردم و باز میومد یکی دیگه برام میذاشتن یا یه نفر دیگه میگفت و منم اینو داشتم که دیگه من بزرگ شده بودم، این حس داشتم بزرگ شده بودم و دیگه به حد زیاد مشروب خورده بودم که تقریبا سیامست می شدم و یه دفعه به فکرم رسید که من خوبه که یه کادو بخرم برای خالم. خالم کسیه که منو بزرگ کرده و اون در واقع بزرگتر و الگوی من هستش، برام زحمت می کشه به جای مادرم منو بزرگ کرده. من از اونجا اومدم بیرون و سوار اتوبوس شدم و همینطوری داشتم میرفتم یه جایی که کادو بخرم و بعدش از ماشین پیاده شدم افتادم توی خیابون و اونجا در واقع اونجا بیهوش شدم، از حال رفتم. بعدش یه خانمی اومد و به من کمک کرد، منو بلند کرد، منو گذاشت توی ماشینش و من فقط وقتی که بهش اومده بودم اینو میدیدم بهش میگفتم که من بهت پول میدم تو برای خالم کادو بخر و اون این کارو کرد، اون منو بلند کرد و رفتیم و بر خالم کادو گرفت و کادو پیچش کرد و گذاشتش به من داد و منو برد خونه، منو فرستاد خونه. وقتی که رسیدم اونجا و دوست من اینو بگم که برای کریسمس که همه به هم کادو میدن، فکرم همه میدونن البته، برای همین این حسو داشتم. بعد من دیگه وقتی تایمی که رسیدم خونه یه خورده مستی از سرم پریده بود چون زمان گذشته بود از اونجا و وقتی که به خالم رسیدم توی خونه بهش کادو رو دادم و اون که میتونست مشروب از نفس من بوش رو بفهمه از من سوال کرد که آیا تو مشروب خوردی و من گفتم که نه، فقط من یه دونه خوردم، یعنی این یه چیزی بود که ما به همه میگفتیم یه دونه خوردیم و اون گفتش که من دوست ندارم که تو مشروب بخوری چون تو وقتی مشروب میخوری دقیقا مثل بابات میشی و اگه مشروب بخوری مثل اون میشی و من هم اونجا از خالم رنجش گرفتم به خاطر اینکه من اصلا توی شرایطی نبودم که کسی بخواد به من بگه که دوست نداشتم کسی به من بگه که تو مشروب نخور، من اینو نمیخواستم. اوکی، گو اهد.
Thank you, Sarah. So what I'm, the picture I'm painting right now is in my culture to be a man that cannot handle his alcohol is somebody that's considered a little weak. It's a weakness. And my aunt accused me of that. That's what I felt. That's what I perceived. So I throughout my career as a chef, I traveled a lot to different countries I was cooking in different countries, and I found that in a lot of countries outside of my country, Ireland, I went to Switzerland, France, and Germany and England, there was a much more liberal attitude about drinking for anybody of any age. And I was considered a foreign person, so people assumed because he's Irish, he likes to drink. So that's so I had a free pass, really, psychologically. Mm-hmm. You know, the other cultures didn't judge me as much as my own culture. And I drank freely, but I was also confronted by most of my managers, bosses, friends, close friends, about my problem with alcohol. They used to always kind of tell me, you don't seem to be able to manage that alcohol very well. And they told me from the way they see it. And that always, I always felt offended. So I took that, okay, if you want to translate the thing.
Yes, that is a good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
من چیزی رو که تصویری رو که میخوام برای شما بسازم که تجسم بکنید اینه که در واقع توی فرهنگ من به عنوان یک ایرلندی این خیلی نقطه ضعف بزرگی بود، یه عیب و برچسب بود اگر که کسی مشروب میخورد و نمیتونست رفتار خودش رو کنترل بکنه و مست میشد. و در واقع خالم به من این تهمت رو زد و به من گفتش که تو ضعیفی، وقتی که به من گفتش که تو این مدلی هستی، و بر همین من خیلی ناراحت شده بودم. من به خاطر شغل آشپزی که بود که داشتم و توی مسافرت زیاد می رفتم و برای همین هم کشورهای دیگه می رفتم، کشورهایی مثل سوئیس، فرانسه، آلمان و انگلیس، به خاطر شغلم می رفتم و متوجه شدم که توی اون کشورها من خیلی آزادی بیشتری دارم و اونا آزادتر می خورن و به من هم چون که ایرلندی بودم و واقعا هم ایرلندی ها معروفم به این که حتی توی قهوهشون هم مشروب میریزن میخورن و خیلی پذیرفته شده بود براشون که من مرتب دارم الکل میخورم و کمتر قضاوت میشدم و از نظر روانی و فرهنگی اجتماعی پذیرفته شده بود اون مشروب خوردن من بیرون از کشورم تا توی خود کشورم. اما همزمان هم توی این مدت از طرف دوستای نزدیکم، از طرف رئیس ها، همکارام، دوستای دورتر هم به من گفته بودن که تو مشکل داری با خوردن مشروب، انگار وقتی که تو مشروب میخوری نمیتونی خودت رو کنترل بکنی. و اتفاقی که میفته، من حالت دفاعی میگرفتم، به هم بر میخورد و ناراحت میشدم وقتی که این رو به من میگفتن. اوکی.
For another 30 years, I carried that mindset, that thinking with me. Is there was two things going on. I'm Irish. Everybody loves the Irish because they like to drink. And so I used that to carry me into bars, into places that people loved me. And but at the same time, people felt sorry for me. They had sympathy for me because I always, always ended up on the ground, blackout. So I continued that for 30 years. And but I was all successful. I always was motivated. I always got up. I was young. I mean, when you're young, you can drink. And then when I came to the United States, the USA, I had met my wife. She was American. And I came here and I drank. She was from one part of America, and we drove through New York City, and I met her brother, and her brother was a real alcoholic, and I spent 3 or 4 days with him, and as I experienced with him, and the same experience I had with real alcoholics was, we always ended up talking to each other after a binge, and we'd say, you and I cannot drink together, because we're alcoholics, because we just go crazy, we're crazy. I didn't know when to stop. He doesn't know when to stop, and we end up lost. So I took that drinking here to Florida, and I'm living in Florida right now. And eventually, I had to stop. I had to stop drinking, and I tried to do it on my own. And I used to think that willpower an exercise and just saying no and going to bars and showing strength in not drinking. But I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And then I started going to AA meetings. And when I went to AA meetings, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. برای من زندگیم همینطوری 30 سال گذشت و من توی این 30 سال با همین طرز فکر در واقع 2 تا چیز توی زندگی من بود. شماره 1 اینی که من یه ایرلندی هستم و همه ایرلندی ها رو دوست دارن به خاطر اینکه ایرلندی ها خیلی خوب مشروب زیاد میخورن و من توی همین فکر مونده بودم و همین این طرز فکر دنبال میکردم و همزمان هم اینها برای من احساس تأسف میکردن به خاطر اینکه من هر بار که مشروب میخوردم آخرش یه جوری میشد که سیامست میشدم و رو زمین بیهوش میافتادم و این هر دوش بود و یه چیز دیگه ای که بود من خیلی اشتیاق و شور و شوق زندگی داشتم جوون بودم و کار میکردم این اشتیاق رو داشتم تمام این مدت اینطوری بود تا اینکه من از اونجا از ایرلند به آمریکا اومدم و با همسرم ازدواج کردم در واقع اول با برادر همسرم آشنا شدم و ما یه 3-4 روزی رو با هم گذروندیم و اون هم یه الکلی بود و همون ارتباطی که دوتا الکلی واقعی با هم دارن ما دوتا هم با هم داشتیم یعنی که با هم شروع میکردیم به مشروب خوردن خیلی زیاد و نه اون بلد بود حساب کنه نه من بلد بودم و همینطور هر دو ادامه میدادیم و بعدش میگفتیم که ما نباید با هم مشروب بخوریم خوبه که ما با هم مشروب نخوریم تو نمیتونیم کنترل بکنیم به هر حال که من از اونجا نیویورک که اونجا بودم اسباب کشی کردم و رفتم فلوریدا و الان اونجا هستم و سعی کردم که خودم متوقف کنم این نوشیدن الکل و این شرایط زندگیم رو. اول شروع کردم به اینی که نمیدونم چی نوشتم. خودم شروع کردم استاپ بکنم. با اراده شخصی خودم، یعنی فکر کردم که خودم میتونم، بعد با ورزش کردن، با نگفتن و یه مدت اینها اوکی بود، یه مدت نمیخوردم ولی بعدش نمیشد تا اینکه بالاخره شروع کردم که به جلسات AA اومدن.
So once I started going to the meetings, I started discovering and meeting people that were more accepting of the fact that alcohol is not just a weakness, it is a disease of the mind, it is a sickness. And it runs in your family. And I had my father's disease. My father, I realized that, so what do I get in these meetings? What do I do? And and all they told me was, keep coming back. And the meetings are kind of religious. They are, they talk about God a lot. And, you know, I don't really care. I grew up in a Catholic country. And so that wasn't really a problem for me. But they talked about it in a different way. They talked about finding your own self and your own direction in life, and not just all your own direction. They talked about their stories. They talked about what they were feeling every day. You know, I mean, the anxiety. I mean, I tried to stay sober for 4 months on my own, and I was on my own, and I was always trying to think, what is going on. But I could never really express that with people, because nobody understands this. No one understands. But the general attitude I got from most people was, oh, so you don't drink. Good for you. You're strong. And what do you do with that? So I discovered that I can make friends. I can talk to people about what goes on in their heads when they're not drinking. And that's to me, I found that interesting, because I discovered there's better things to learn than just being drunk all the time. And so here as time went on, 23 years has passed, and I find that today I can't even imagine a world now having a drink. It doesn't make sense to me anymore. It's like in this country or wherever in AA, I've heard this. It's a forest. You walk for 30 years into the forest, and that's what I did. And then it takes you 30 years to walk back out of the forest. So I consider myself on a journey. I'm walking out of the forest, and every day I walk out of the forest, I see more sunshine. And the sunshine always gets brighter. And when I'm told to come on to these meetings, for example, Serge asking me to come to an amazing meeting in Iran, I was privileged and honored that I have built so much trust over the years, that people trust me. You know, people don't look at me like on my job anymore and say, oh God, he's drunk. No, 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 no. Don't give him that. Don't give him that responsibility. He's drunk. That's all they see, is they're drunk. But the reality is, I'm like, when I am drunk, I'm a child. My brain is not developed. Now I feel that my brain is developing. I'm developing and getting wiser. And the only way I can maintain that wisdom is come to meetings, talk to alcoholics, get involved and service other people. And you will understand as days pass and days turn into hours, turn into days, and days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months and years. And then you can look back and you say to yourself, this is wonderful. This is exactly what my aunt was talking about. When I was 15 years old, she said, please, I don't like when you drink. And I said, what about the other people? She said, they don't have a problem. You do. I see it in you. And I never understood what she saw in me. But what she saw in me is she saw something beyond being an alcoholic. Thank you.
Amazing. You have a nice story. I don't want to interrupt you, believe me, but I have.
My pleasure.
من شروع کردم به جلسات AA اومدن و چیزی که متوجه شدم این بود که توی جلسات AA الکلی بودن و مشروب خوردن من رو، شرایطم رو به عنوان ضعف و کمبود نمی دیدن. اونها به عنوان یک بیماری که توی فکرم بود، توی ذهنم بود و به عنوان یک بیماری کلن می دیدن. یه مدت اومدم جلسه و بعد به خودم گفتم که من ببینم که اینجا چی داره گیرم میاد، و دیدم که اونا یه خود انگار مذهبی هستن، چون که خیلی هی راجع به خدا حرف میزن و خدا خدا میگن، ولی اونها متفاوت حرف میزدن و یه چیزایی میگفتن راجع به این که خودت رو پیدا کن، راجع به این که توی زندگی مسیرت رو پیدا کن، توی جلسات راجع به این که احساسات چجوری هستش و راجع به این که راجع به افکار و احساسات، چیزایی که توی سرمون بود صحبت می کردیم، و اینی که می تونستم با مردم صحبت بکنم خیلی برام جالب و جذاب بود. و دیدم وقتی که مشروب نمی خورم و مشروب نمی خوریم ما می تونیم این کار رو انجام بدیم. متوجه شدم که من توی جلسه میتونم خیلی چیزا یاد بگیرم، خیلی چیزای بهتری بود از اون شرایطی که من قبلش داشتم که فقط مشروب خوردن و مستی بود. و همینطوری 23 سال گذشته که من اینجا هستم و الان خیلی خیلی خوشحالم که توی این مسیر هستم و این رو به عنوان یک مسیری میبینم که انگار که این مسیر رو میری و بعدش میخوای این مسیر رو رفتی و بعد میخوای برگردی، و همینطوری که انگار از توی یه جنگل میخوای بری بیرون، توی این مسیر همچنم هی بیشتر دارم نور میبینم. امروز متوجه شدم که من دارم عاقل‌تر میشم. امروز متوجه شدم که دارم رشد میکنم و بزرگ میشم. مثلا الان که سرج به من گفتش که بیا توی این جلسه و بیا صحبت کن توی یه جلسه توی ایران، من خیلی احساس افتخار کردم و خیلی احساس خوبی کردم از اینی که سرج و بقیه به من اعتماد دارن و اینو این خیلی حس خوبی به من داد. ولی مردم بیرون اینطوری نیستن. مثلا من یادم میاد که 4 ماه من مشروب نخورده بودم خودم با اراده شخصی خودم، و اونجا وقتی که به بقیه میگفتم به هم میگفتن که خب حالا که چی؟ حالا میخوای چه کار کنی؟ حالا قراره چی بشه؟ انگار کسی نمیفهمید که جریان چیه. ولی اینجا خیلی فرق میکنه دیگه. الان دیگه موقعی که اینجا هستم، موقعی که مشروب نمیخورم، مست نمیشم، بزرگ میشم و مسئولیت قبول میکنم. وقتی که مشروب میخوردم انگار یه بچه بودم و انگار که مغزم کار نمیکرد، اما الان نه. الان که به عقب نگاه میکنم میبینم که وقتی که 15 سالم بود خالم به من اینو گفت. خالم به من گفتش که من دوست ندارم تو مشروب بخوری، و من گفتم که خب پس بقیه چی؟ اونا چی؟ و اون به من گفتش که من اونا رو نمیدونم، اما تو مشکل داری. من موقع نمیفهمیدم خالم چی میگفت، ولی الان میفهمم. اوکی، گو اهد.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, do I have much time left? How much time do I have left?
I think maybe like 10 minutes or so.
All right, excellent. Yeah. I was having lunch at with one of my friends, my AA friends, and he's got 40 years sobriety. And on Sunday, and we were discussing, and he works in the hotel business like I do. And we're talking about, he was telling me, oh, Aidan, I remember I was helping one of my friends get sober. He was a bartender. And he worked in the hotel, and I suggested, and he asked me about my recovery. And he said, I suggest that you go to AA meetings. And the friend said, okay, well, I guess if I'm an alcoholic, I go to AA meetings. So his friend went to an AA meetings with my friend Gary. And a couple of weeks later, Gary was working, and his friend was behind the bar serving drinks, because that's what he is. He's a bartender. And he was drunk behind the bar. And Gary came, and he's a waiter in the hotel. Gary said to his friend, can you make a couple of drinks for me? And his friend seemed like he was drunk. And Gary said, oh my God, you're drunk. And Gary pushed him out of the way. He went behind the bar and he started making drinks himself, because the guest needs the drinks. And so the friend was leaning against the wall. And Gary turned around to his friend and says, well, you're drunk. What are you doing? You're drunk. And the friend says, oh, he said, I realized after a couple of AA meetings that I don't have a drinking problem. So I stopped going. So it's so ironic. You know, you look at that. And when I hear that story, and I laugh so hard at that story, I was so grateful at that moment to realize that here my friend Gary, 40 years sobriety. I've got 23 years sobriety. And we're sitting in a restaurant, and we're telling these stories, and there's a few other people there from AA. Some of them are in AA and some are not in AA. And we can tell these stories and we can sit back and just and understand how crazy this disease is, how insane we are when we are not able to see ourselves. And what I learn, and as I talk about one day at a time, the metaphor one day at a time, it seems to me there's two meanings to that. One day at a time is, who the hell wants to live one day at a time with your life passing you by? You're just living one day at a time? I mean, that's logical. I wake up every day and I live one day at a time. You don't need to tell me that. But the difference between living one day at a time and actually living and enjoying one day at a time is what you learn in AA. What you learn in AA is when you wake up in the morning, you realize the gift of that day. And I can only tell you that because I experience it. And I plan my day around that. I wake up early in the morning. I sit outside. I find a place that's quiet. I get away from my wife. I don't want to hear any nonsense. I don't want to hear any stuff. And I just sit there and I watch the sunrise. And I say to myself, this is why I'm alive. Because there's only one other direction I can be. I can be dead and not experience this. So this is life. And all AA has taught me is to be in life. and understand that it's a gift. You know, I was talking to a gentleman at work the other day, and he said his father is 70 years old, and he had a sickness throughout his life. But this time he's 70. He made it to 70. And I said, so, Roosevelt, how does your friend feel right now? He said he looks at every day past 70 as a gift. And I say, you know, I can understand that. I can understand that because I look at every day as a gift, you know, and it's not a joke for me anymore. It's not something that I don't believe in anymore. I believe in it because I can tell stories about sobriety through watching and creating friendships and having connections of people that are wonderful human beings. And we are able to do Zoom meetings everywhere in the world. I'm able to talk to people in Iran today. I'm able to talk to people in New York City. I'm able to talk to people in Ireland, and I can talk the same language and understand, and we can share the same thoughts and feelings about the most silly things that goes on in our lives every day. But yet we're all talking as a community, and we're all sharing and respectful towards each other. We have traditions and we have steps, and it's the same language internationally, and it's about peace and unity. And it's so beautiful. And I said to myself, I'm really, really lucky. And I'm really lucky that I was asked to share in this meeting today. And I appreciate everybody here. And I'm gonna be quiet now because I think I've said enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay. من با یکی از دوستام که چند وقت پیش نهار میخوردم که 40 سال پاکی داره، یک شنبه گذشته، و اونم توی بیزنس هتل و اینها هستش، و من اون برای من تعریف میکرد که کمک کرده به یه نفر دیگه که توی بار همون هتل کار میکرده که بره چیز کنه، کمک کرده که بره توی ای ای و بتونه هوشیار بشه. بعدش میگفتش که اون با دوستش رفته بود و بعد از چند روز میبینتش، بعد از چند روز دوستش رو هم که رفته بوده میاد اونجا توی بار، اونم اونجا کار میکرده خودش، و میاد میگه که خب یه چند تا مشروب درست کن و که ببرم. میبینه که این خود این بارتندره مسته و مشروب خورده بوده، و به هر حال که میاد که رد بشه خودش درست کنه با اینها. و بعد دوستش بهش میگه که تو که جلسه رفتی پس هوشیاری و اینا چیه؟ و اون میگه که من بعد از اینکه چند تا جلسه ای رفتم فهمیدم که دیگه مشکلی ندارم و من خوبم و اوکیم، مشکل ندارم. و من اون لحظه خیلی شکرگزار بودم، خیلی قدردان این هوشیاریم بودم. به خاطر چی؟ به خاطر ای ای، چون من میدونم که سلامت عقل ندارم و نمیتونستم که اون واقعیت زندگیم رو ببینم، که ببینم چه مدلی هستش. در واقع این آقا هم همون مدلی بوده. توی ای ای چیزی که هستش میگیم که یه چیزی که هستش، یه اصطلاحی که داریم اینه که فقط برای امروز. و یه دیدی هست که به این قضیه میگه که یعنی چی فقط واسه یه روز میخوای زندگی کنی؟ و مگه میشه فقط یه روز زندگی کرد، فقط برای امروز زندگی کرد؟ اما جریان اینه که من توی ای ای یاد گرفتم که توی ای ای لذت بردن از همون یک روزه، و چطور زندگی کردنه که توی ای ای یاد میگیرم بتونم لذت ببرم. من الان یاد گرفتم که صبح که بلند میشم از خواب برم یه جای ساکت، مهم نیستش که همسرم به هم چی میگه یا چقدر میخواد حرف بزنه یا راجع به یه چیزی قور بزنه یا هر چیزی، میرم یه گوشه ای یه جا ساکت میشینم و طلوع آفتابو میبینم و به این فکر میکنم که اون لحظه زندگی همینه، به خاطر اینکه من میتونستم مرده باشم و نمردم. زندگی به نظر من یک هدیه هست، یک هدیه که هر روزش یک هدیه است. یه نفری داشت صحبت میکرد و میگفتش که بابام 70 سالشه و مریض بوده، بابا مریض بوده ولی خب زنده مونده و اوکی هست و فعلا 70 سالشه و میگه که از بعد از 70 سالگی هر یه روزی که دارم زندگی میکنم اون یه روز یه هدیه است. و من واقعا اینو باور دارم به خاطر اینکه برای من هم همینه، هر روز یک هدیه است. راجب اینی که هوشیار باشم، اینی که میتونم هوشیار باشم، اینی که میتونم نگاه کنم به مردم، نگاه بکنم، اینی که توی جلسه ارتباط برقرار بکنم، حرف بزنم. الان من توی یه جلسه توی ایران هستم، توی جلسه با زوم میرم توی نیویورک، میرم توی ایرلند، میتونم اونجا به اون زبون صحبت بکنم و میتونم که همه فکرام و احساسات هم رو با شما مشارکت بکنم و شما با من، و این پر از احترامه. و ما قدم ها رو داریم و سنت ها رو داریم که به ما کمک میکنن که ما بتونیم این کار رو انجام بدیم. و الان هم خیلی احساس خوشبختی میکنم و خیلی حسم خوبه. خیلی ممنون که به حرفای من گوش دادید. Are you done, Aiden? Finish?
Yeah, I just want to say I want to thank Serge for because I go to the meetings in New York City and I've seen Serge on these meetings and he's very engaging. He is very very much spreading the 12-step message. He's bringing the AA message. He's doing what I don't feel that I'm doing. You know, I don't feel that I'm doing enough sometimes. And it takes people like Serge that make me say yes to things. And when I see that kind of inspiration, that's the kind of thing that motivates me, because I sometimes feel I don't have it in myself. But I do know that all I need is a nudge. And the only place you're ever going to get a nudge, and that's my experience through my life of sobriety, is come to meetings, don't stay home, put on the Zoom, get out of your house, and just move the muscle and go to a meeting. And your life will change. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aiden. در آخر من میخوام بهتون بگم که من خیلی از سر تشکر میکنم به خاطر اینکه من سرج رو توی نیویورک با هم جلسه رفتیم و توی جلسات نگاش کردم و دیدمش. در واقع نگاه کردم که چقدر داره خدمت میکنه، چقدر توی جلسات AA مایه میذاره و هستش. و من احتیاج دارم که یه آدمایی مثل سرج رو ببینم به خاطر اینکه بعضی موقعا احساس میکنم توی من نیست و من نمیتونم این کارو بکنم، و یه کسایی مثل سرج باعث میشن که این توی من هم بیدار بشه و بیاد بیرون. و در آخر هم بهتون بگم که اگر که اینجا هستیم، فقط کاری که باید بکنیم چیه؟ بریم توی جلسه زوم، شروع کنیم گوش دادن، بعد حرکت کنیم، از خونه بیایم بیرون، بریم یه جلسه حضوری و یه حرکت فیزیکی داشته باشیم. و این همه اون چیزی بود که من میخواستم بهتون بگم. اوکی، تموم شدم. Thank you so much.